You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Sawadee kap, bon dia, dober dan, dobre yedin, bonjour, buenos noches, buena diminata. Welcome, Earth, to the Kevin Smith Show. Wherever you happen to be, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you who are joining in with us for the very first time tonight, a special welcome to you. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of this. It's a really good habit to get into. If you are new, you need to know that you can go over to kevinsmithshow.com, and there's a button that has red letters on it that says K-Files E-Zine. If you click that, you can subscribe absolutely free of charge to our weekly newsletter. And by the way, there are no strings attached. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Let me urge you again to use our contact page when you send us email. I get every single day way over 1,000 spam messages, sometimes probably approaching 2,000. And so we've had to install some really stringent filters on our email. And otherwise, I mean, it's just clogged up with, you know, all kinds of junk. You get them too. However, being that I've got several email addresses all publicized all over the internet, I get tons of it. And so in order to see to it that I get your messages, we've installed some really stringent filters. And we created the contact page specifically to get you through those filters. Now, the reason I bring this up is I got an email from one of our members today, and the member did not use the contact page, but just sent the email. It did not make it through the filters. It was in the delete bunch, but as I started to delete, I just thought, well, let me just make a quick run through here and see what there is, just to be careful. And I found it. I recognized the name, and I stopped to read it. And it was asking for support. Well, guess what? On the contact page, that's one of the drop-down menu items that says member support. Guess where that goes? It goes immediately to our support inbox. So it just was lucky that I caught that. I know a lot of folks don't like to use the contact page, but I'll tell you this. If you don't use it, the chances that I will see your email are almost zero. If you don't use the contact page, it's almost zero because the filters just grab it and throw it in delete. And, you know, if I don't happen to just go through there and check it and happen to recognize your name, which I probably won't recognize too many folks' names, but people in 95 countries listening, I don't know everybody. So if you want me to see it, I urge you, use the contact page. If you're suggesting that I read a link, Doesn't that sound like a suggestion? Click that for suggestion. If you're asking for support on something as a member, doesn't that sound like member support? Click that. That's the way to get your email straight to the eyes that need to see it. All right, this evening we're going to take a critical look at Mars, and then I'm going to open the phone lines. I just have to do this, and I think you'll see why right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and as I said, I'm going to take up this issue about Mars this evening. There's a reason for this, and I hope you see the connection. You know, this has been a big news week for people in the genre of the strange and unexplained. We've had the big October the 14th non-event, and then a lot of discussion about the repercussions of this. And I shared with you last night, the repercussions have already been severe for Blossom Goodchild. And she has put out a video, which, by the way, at Alien Seeker News, it's linked there. You can go over there. Don Alice is a good friend of this show and a good friend. And he is the owner of Alien Seeker News. Go to alienseekernews.com, and you can see the video that Blossom Goodchild put out where she's talking about all of these nasty emails that she got, many of them urging her just to kill herself. And I talked about that last night. That's really uncalled for. Really, really uncalled for. She maintains that she did hear these messages, that she was given these messages, and I have no reason to doubt that. She said, her words were basically, I don't know why they didn't show up. I don't know why they would tell me that they were going to and then not do it. So she's a bit confused about having been given bad information. I want to change the focus a little bit tonight. We're still going to be talking about bad information, but I want to turn that focus to the information we get from establishment science, and particularly as it relates to Mars. It's not just aliens giving bad information through channeling. That's not the only place bad information enters the genre in which we swim. It also comes from scientists with DR dot before their name. It comes from agencies like NASA. It comes from a lot of different places. And I'm going to show you some examples of that. And we'll open the phones and talk about it and chat about that tonight. But I want to assure you that if you think that the only place bad information came from was Blossom Goodchild's messengers, the ones that talked to her, if you think that is the only place, and people say, well, you know, I'll never believe anything like that again. Well, that's good. I don't think you should believe. I think you should say with an open mind, maybe it's true. We shall see. But it's not just from that kind of source that bad information enters the soup of the strange and unexplained. It also comes from official agencies. It also comes from a lot of alleged experts in this field that, for whatever reason, promote bilge water. It happens. And, you know, if you really want to know what is the truth, you have to remain open-minded. You don't have to be so-called skeptical, but you have to at least take the position. Skeptical is not necessarily a bad thing, But you at least have to take the position, okay, well, we shall see. That's the way you sort through this stuff. But watch this. Let me show you something. I want to take you on a little picture tour here. Now, this is Mars. This is a photograph taken from, it's a NASA photograph taken from a NASA rover spacecraft that's landed on Mars. Now, for many, many, many years, we have been seeing photographs very similar to this. If you'll notice, the sky is sort of pink, sort of reddish. I've seen it really red. You have too. And the dirt out there, well, it's pretty red stuff, isn't it? And I've seen it a whole lot more red than that in NASA photographs. Well, when the Spirit and Opportunity rovers were sent to Mars, they started beaming back these wonderful pictures. And people were just amazed because the pictures they beamed back showed a sky that looks a whole lot like Earth and dirt that looks a whole lot like Earth. It's not too red. This photograph is taken from the press conference, a press conference that was held by NASA at NASA. And you can see the scientists are talking. They're holding a press conference there. And behind them, a photograph that has come back from one of the rovers. And you may remember there was quite a reaction at the time. A lot of people saying, well, look at that. The sky is blue. Well, here's a real kicker. This is what NASA has been showing us. This is what we saw when the rovers started sending photographs back. You ready for the kicker? How long do you think NASA has known for sure that Mars has a blue sky? Probably much longer than what I'm about to tell you, but you see this picture? That is from the Viking lander. Now, that happened in 1976. There is a blue sky, and the dirt is not very red. And yet, even since 1976, we've been getting photographs that are very red. The sky is red. Very unreal photographs. That's what we've been getting from NASA when they show us photographs of Mars. And in 1976, they knew. They knew for sure that the sky was blue. They knew for sure that the dirt was not very red. Now, that's one of the spins that they have been using for a long, long time. That's one of the things that they've been, that's some of the bilge water they've been selling for a long time. I don't know why NASA has done that. I don't know. But there is no question but that they have done it. It's in their own photographic record. There are people who used to work at NASA who have testified openly and publicly that they have seen the technicians at NASA, they've seen photographic technicians, airbrushing them, colorizing them, airbrushing things out of the pictures so that you don't see it. Again, I don't know why, and I'm not assigning any particularly sinister motives to it. Maybe they have some reason. I can't imagine what the reason is. But the fact that it has been done is in their own photographic record. Now, let me just prove that again. This is what NASA has been showing us. They've been showing us red skies, very red dirt. Then, after many years of that, they started showing us these photographs that came back from the Spirit and the Opportunity, and it's got blue sky. And look, this the dirt on Mars at the location where this photograph was taken looks like the dirt right outside my door right here in the Phoenix, Arizona area. That's what it looks like. And for all of these years that they have been showing us those red skies, they have known for sure that the skies were blue. It's in their own photographic record. Now, one of the big questions that people have about Mars is that, the question of, is there intelligent life anywhere in the universe? And if so, is that life living on Mars? Now, I grant you that question only occurs, mostly occurs, within the boundaries of the genre that this show deals with. Serious scientists don't talk about that. Serious scientists, of course, never discuss the idea that there could be intelligent life living on Mars now. Well, back in 1982, there was an international mission, an international space mission, that was Soviet-led, basically, and or by the Russians, led by the Russians. And at that time, we still had the Soviet Union, I believe. And so they sent a satellite to Mars. It was called the Phobos 2 satellite. Now, it was going to do infrared and radar imaging. And I may be wrong about the infrared, but it was going to do, some high-tech imaging of Mars, but primarily of Phobos, the moon. And the Phobos 2 satellite settled into orbit around Mars, and it did a sweep of the Martian surface. In that sweep of the Martian surface, it can be seen that an elliptical-shaped shadow, a very large shadow, passes across the surface of Mars. And it's not the Phobos 2. It's Phobos 2 wasn't big enough to do that, and it wasn't the right shape to do that. The cameras then turned toward Phobos, the moon. And as the cameras turned towards Phobos, the moon, it shot this photograph. And you can see Phobos, that's that irregular-shaped, some people say it's a potato-shaped moon, that irregular shape at the top of the picture. And then there is this very long cigar-shaped object. Some people have said that's 25 kilometers long. That's the last picture that Phobos ever took. That's the last photograph that it sent back, and then it malfunctioned, and it began to spin as if it had been struck. Now, the question is, what is that long cigar-shaped object? Is it a spacecraft, or is that just an anomaly in the film? Well, it's not film. It's telemetry that was sent back. Is it just an anomaly? Well, it's a very well-defined anomaly. If it is an anomaly, it is a very well-defined one. All kinds of non-answers were given about this. And, the question is, well, if that one existed, and if that is what caused, if that's a spaceship, and if that's what caused Phobos 2 to malfunction and to be basically dead in space, if that's it, have there ever been any more of these things cited? Well, it just so happens that one of the rovers had a camera pointed skyward one day. One of the rovers that's up there right now, and that cigar-shaped object is seen in the sky, or one very similar, I would say virtually identical, that's in the Martian sky above the rover. Now, it snapped that photograph, it sent it back to Earth, and now we're looking at it. Doesn't that look a little bit like the object in the Phobos photograph? Now, you might be saying, well, what does that have to do with spin? Well, the spin is that NASA says that they are looking for signs of the elements that need to exist for life to exist. And if they find that, then they'll go on to look for signs of life. Well, you see, the problem with that is, here is an object that should not be there back in 1982. That is an object that isn't there. It does not orbit Mars. Phobos orbits Mars. It's one of the moons. But that long cigar-shaped object does not orbit Mars. It's not something that's normal and that's supposed to be there. All right, now here in more recent days, we have a photograph from one of the rovers that shows a long cigar-shaped object in the sky above the rover. And then we still hear the spin that they're looking for signs of life. In fact, they're not even really... Their official statement, they're not even really looking for signs of life. They're looking for signs of the elements necessary for life. Don't you find that just a little bit incongruous? I find it very incongruous. Now, we've only got a couple of minutes here until our first break. Let me just go ahead and get into this. The photograph that I'm putting on the screen at the moment is from near the South Pole, and it's not real clear, but it's clear enough that you can see there is definitely some kind of structure there. It is not geology. It is not geography. It is quite obviously an artificial structure. We have right angles. We've got looks like tubes, big pipes. Looks like there are some smokestack-type constructions there. That would sort of tend, wouldn't you think, to make you think that perhaps there either is or has been intelligent life right there on that planet. Look, the Martian wind did not blow sand into that configuration. That is quite obviously some type of facility. And yet we are still told that they are looking for elements that might indicate that there could be life, and then they'll look for evidence of past life on Mars. Really? Why don't you just roll a rover up to this facility and say, hi, I'm from Earth, take me to your leader. We'll be back right after this, more evidence of the spin.
Thank you.
welcome back. All right, we're talking about the spin that we've been getting from official sources. We've been getting this for a very, very long time. And for those of you watching on our internet TV channel, you're seeing the pictures of it. I'm putting them up on the screen for you. So, but we've been getting these for a very, very long time. Now, when we went away, I was showing you this photograph of a facility of some type, a very sophisticated-looking facility, and it's this is a photograph taken near the South Pole of Mars. But, okay, maybe that's just a freak anomaly. Well, let's see. Inside of Hale Crater, there are very clear photographs, and I have one up on the screen, of what looks like buildings. Now, you can see it looks like there are sort of steps going up to something there, the very broad, wide steps going up. Maybe it's a ziggurat. I don't know. But we can see buildings in this picture. And, I mean, it's clear enough that we can see that the front of these buildings is slanted towards us. They don't just come at a 90-degree angle from the top down to the ground. They come from the top of the building and then slant towards the ground. We can see that. We can see what looks like an entrance. I can see what looks like possibly big, large windows, or maybe those are doors. I don't know. But we can see that, and that's on the left side of the photograph. And then the ziggurat-looking thing, the step thing, is sort of in the center of the photograph at the kind of the center top. And but this obviously is not something that the wind blew up. It's obviously not geology. It's obviously not of natural origin. Now, these photographs are provided by NASA. These are NASA photographs, and yet 100% of the time when we say, well, what about that? They give us some weather balloon story. Now, they don't say weather balloon, I grant you, but you understand what I'm saying. Whenever, if you take this picture right here that I just showed you from inside the crater, and you're looking at buildings, and you hand it to a NASA scientist, and you say, okay, then explain this. You will hear something like, well, I don't see anything here that doesn't look like it's of natural origin. And I'm telling you, I don't see anything here that looks like it is natural origin. Now, you be the judge. I mean, you've got your own eyes. But I think you see the point that I'm making here. The point that I'm making is that no matter what you present to NASA from their own photographs, they are going to deny that it's anything but natural. Or they are going to simply not comment. They'll give you a fluff and puff answer, or they won't comment, or they'll just tell you that they see nothing that looks as if it's artificial. It all looks natural to them. Well, I mean, what can you do with that? 100% of the time, there's not been one single time that NASA has given us a real straight answer on these anomalies. I don't see, honest to God, I don't see how anyone could look at this picture from inside of Hale Crater and say that is all natural. There's nothing artificial there. I don't see how anybody could look at that and say that that is the case. Now, I'm going to share a picture with you because we were talking about this whole idea of, is there life on Mars, or has there been life, intelligent life on Mars? I'm going to show you a series of pictures that I think should really at least cause an eyebrow to raise. And when you see these, imagine asking NASA about that picture and then put them all together. 100% of these pictures are going to, they're going to tell you that there's nothing there that's not of natural origin. But by the way, we are looking for the possibility that there might be some life on Mars, maybe in the dim past, and maybe microbial. And okay, well, let's take a look. How about something that looks like a fossilized shoe print? Now, that's taken by a rover. That was taken by the Spirit Mars rover. And it looks like a fossilized shoe print, does it not? Okay, now you might say, okay, Smith, it's shaped kind of like a shoe print, but, you know, that could be geology. Well, maybe, and then maybe it was left by the guy that dropped this coin. Can you see this coin in the middle of the picture? Looks like a coin, doesn't it? It looks like maybe a quarter, 50-cent piece. Also taken by none other than the rover. So that's not a photograph taken from space and we're looking down upon some great large anomaly that's down there on the surface. That's taken from 4 or 5 feet above it, taken by the rover. Well, maybe that's geology, you might say. All right, I want to ask you, living here on Earth, have you ever seen something so perfectly round and so uniformly flat created by nature? Well, maybe the guy that left that footprint and that dropped that coin, maybe he worked in this building that you see. Now, what you're looking at here, again, you know, I've chosen pictures to share with you that are pretty extreme. By extreme, I mean they are so obviously not of natural origin that it's hard to be any debate here. But if you think that one might possibly, maybe, be of natural origin, well, maybe the guy worked at this building. Now, the picture that you're looking at here is pretty small, and it's you can't see really very clearly, but you do see there's a white box, and there's something in that white box, right? Well, here's a close-up of the something in the white box. Now, we obviously have something here that is not of natural origin. One of the features that it has that the other picture, the other facility had, is a hole in the top. Now, it has been suggested, who knows, maybe that is like a missile silo. Maybe this is a launch facility of some type. But whenever you look at that, you also notice that the second facility also has that same type of structure in the top. It's got a hole in the top, and they're perfectly round. And we're looking at 90-degree angles. We're looking at something that is quite obviously artificial. But if you show these photographs to establishment science, what you're going to get is, okay, I don't see anything here that's not of natural origin. It all looks like nature to me. The next photograph really does look like nature, but it doesn't look like geology, and it doesn't look like geography. It looks like a railroad tie. It looks like a beam of wood, and this photograph was taken by one of the rovers. Now, folks, the there is a point to all of this. The point to this is that all of this theoretical stuff that people talk about Mars and maybe there was this, maybe there was, I don't know who was there, but there is no doubt someone has been there. And all of this stuff about, well, it just looks like nature to me. How can all of our eyes, all of us, how can we all be wrong 100% of the time? I grant you, I'm not a rocket scientist. I grant you, I've not been to Mars. But I also grant you, I have had eyes all of my life. And you have too. And if you can see, and if you can see the photographs that I've been sharing with you, then you know that you're looking at something that is not geography, it's not geology, it is not natural. It's artificial, except for that beam of wood. Now, you might ask yourself, well, where would they have gotten wood on Mars? Have you not seen the photographs of the trees on Mars? I don't think I've got that in this series tonight. But there are photographs, NASA photographs, of gigantic trees on Mars. I mean giants, giants. They're like a half a mile across, giant trees on Mars. Now, I want to go back to the photographs because I want to show you something. You have some doubts as to whether there are artificial things on Mars. Take a look at this. In this little blue box, that's what the photograph looks like. And then in the larger box, it's been zoomed in on. Now, I don't know what that is, but I know that's not rocks. It's obviously metallic. It's obviously rounded like pipes. And one of them makes a 90-degree turn, but it does it with a curve. It's a curved corner instead of a sharp corner. You can see also a sort of a U-shape structure as part of it on the bottom. It's very small, kind of a U-shaped, as if the pipe makes a U-turn there. There is a pipe on the top and one on the bottom, and then they are joined, they go into some type of a housing back here on the back. Now, what is it? I could not possibly tell you. But now some of you are engineers, and you're looking at that right now, and your mind said, you know, that looks like, and you filled in the blank. In a moment, when I open up the telephone lines, I'd like to hear from some of you who are your engineers or you're in the construction business, and when you saw this photograph, you said, you know, that looks like this. I'd like to hear from you what you think it looks like. Now, to me, I mean, it looks like maybe some sort of a heat exchanger, some type of ventilation piping or something like that. I really don't know. But I do know that that isn't rocks. I do know that the wind on Mars did not blow that together. I do also know that I would get spin from the scientific community if I were to show this to one of them, and I would hear from them that I don't know what it is, but you know it's obviously of some type of natural origin. Well, it's obviously not. But we get this spin from establishment science all the freaking time. And when it comes to Mars, we get boatloads of it. I mean, we're getting shiploads of manure about Mars. And we're looking right now, we're looking at photographs that you didn't take, I didn't take, nobody but NASA took them. All right? And it's got, there are things here. Now, you know, there's the big debate about the face on Mars. Okay. I can understand there being a debate. Some people think it looks like a face. Some people think it doesn't look like a face. I can't tell you what this thing looks like, but I can tell you it isn't rocks. It's not sand. It's not geology. It's not geography. It isn't natural. It's artificial. I can see that with my eyes. Again, I'm not a rocket scientist. I grant you that. I understand that I'm not a scientific expert on this stuff. I understand that. I also understand that I have eyes, and I've had them all my life, and I also understand that with our eyes, we observe things, we go to court, we testify, and people get convicted based on what we see. And then they turn around and tell us we didn't see what we saw. Hogwash. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. If you're just tuning in, what we're doing here this evening, I hope I'm accomplishing this, but I'm trying to make this point. We've had a week where the whole world had the week where we had the October 14th non-event. And some people say Blossom Goodchild lied. And they're taking that tack. And as I said, I can't say that she lied because I don't know her. But from what I've seen in the videos, she seems to be a very sincere kind of person. And it doesn't seem like the sort of person that would have done a hoax. And looking at the video that she's made since October the 14th, I stick with that. I think she sincerely delivered a message she sincerely believed she had received from extraterrestrial beings. The point I'm making here this evening is when you turn toward Blossom Goodchild, before you start casting stones at her, and I'm not defending. I mean, what happened, happened. Que sera, sera. But before we start throwing stones, let's realize that that's not the only kind of place that we get bad information. We get officially sanctioned spin on virtually everything having to do with space exploration. And I'm showing you the evidence of that here tonight. All right? Now, the picture that I had on the screen when we went to break shows some type of, it appears to be, metallic structure. It is very obviously not rocks. It's obviously not nature. Maybe we could see it better if we turned on a spotlight. Now, the picture that I have on your screen right now shows atop a, looks like a tall natural structure. Looks like maybe a very tall sort of peak. On top of that, there is some type of structure, and coming from that structure is light that appears, it's very bright, and it appears to be like a spotlight coming out of that. Now, one of the things, you know, you might say, well, that's just some bright sand. Well, before you decide that's just some bright colored sand on Mars' surface, check out the upper section of the photograph where you can see the sand moving. You let your eye move from the left to the right, and you see the ground, the sand, and that sand moves right into the light, or the light moves right into the sand. It's lighting it up. Is anybody on Mars? Maybe the last guy that left didn't turn out the lights. Maybe that's the case. But there's quite obviously light here. Quite obviously, we're looking at a very highly illuminated area of Mars. Now, we get told by NASA that they're looking for the elements that would support life, and if they find that, then they're going to look for the possibility of some past life. Maybe it was just microbial, but they're going to look and see if they can find past life. What do you think about that spin? I mean, from the photographs that I have shared with you so far, what do you think about that spin? I mean, maybe you buy it. I don't know. When I open the phone lines, we'll find out. Look, I mean, this thing is, in my opinion, the evidence is in your face. Now, there are a lot of photographs. People send me pictures all the time. They say, here's a picture from the moon, or here's a picture from Mars, or here's a picture from Titan, and it shows this. And I look and look and look and look and look, and I can't see it. You know? I see a lot of those pictures. They come through here all the time. And, I try to see what they're telling me is there and can't see it. But the photographs that I'm sharing with you, these, in my opinion, are in your face. I mean, these are undeniably not natural structures. I can't necessarily identify what they are. I can say, well, it kind of looks like this, it kind of looks like that. I can't tell you what they are, but what I can tell you is what they're not. They are not created by the Martian wind and sand and rocks falling here and there and making a shape. It's obviously not that. So if it's not natural, if it's not created by natural processes, it's obviously artificial. What's the next thing you have to think? Somebody did it. I don't know who. I don't know when. I don't know if they're still there, but I know for sure from what I'm looking at, somebody did it. Cars don't wreck themselves. Drivers wreck cars. I can tell you that people will say, I was going around that curve and the car lost control. No, the car didn't lose control. You did. If you were the driver, the car didn't, it did exactly what the driver instructed it to do. You took the curve too fast, you exceeded what is called the maximum critical speed of the curve, and inertia took over, and the car flew in a straight line instead of making the curve. But it did so because of your foot on the gas. So we can look at the results and know that there was someone responsible. When you see a building, I want to go back to this. I want to go back to this building up here. These buildings inside the crater. When you look at that, you may not can see enough detail to tell exactly what you're looking at. But you can see enough detail to tell that those are buildings. Now, if we have buildings there, we had builders at some point. Doesn't that make sense? But the spin that we get over and over and over is we are looking for the elements that might support life. And then if we find that, we'll start looking to see if there is life still there and if there ever was life there. Well, unless you're prepared to say that dead people built that building, the answer is right in front of your eyes. Unless you're prepared to say dead people did that, then the answer is, well, of course there was life there at some point. I don't know who, I don't know who, where they were from, I don't know where they went, I don't know if they're still there. But if you have buildings, you had builders. And all the builders I ever saw were alive. So has there been life on Mars? What's the debate about? Why is there a debate? I don't understand that. I don't understand why there is this continued spin, but we get it. And the thing that amazes me is how many people will listen to the spin and actually allow themselves to become convinced that their eyes are not seeing what they are seeing. Remember that line? It was in Men in Black. It was in that original Men in Black movie, and Will Smith sang the song, you know, Men in Black. And one of the lines in there is, you did not see what your eyes saw. Remember that? What you saw, you did not see. That was it. And they get convinced of that. Now, look, if they need to tell me, whatever the reason is, they need to tell me that I didn't see what I saw, okay, tell me. Convince me that I didn't see what I saw? Never. We'll be back. I got some more for you. You're going to love what's coming up. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, your host. Those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. Man, have you missed a whole bunch of really good stuff. Pictures from Mars. All right, I told you that you would you were going to like what's coming up. Well, let's do that, all right? One of the things they tell us about Mars is that the atmosphere is so thin. First of all, they say it's so thin that there's never any liquid water on the surface of Mars, and we'll see about that in just a minute. But they say it's so thin because and there's no liquid water because if ice melts, instead of going to the liquid state, it simply vaporizes. It evaporates immediately. Because the atmosphere is so thin, and they say that the atmosphere is so thin that it just can't hold that water vapor, and it dissipates out into space. Okay, well, what you're looking at on your screen right now is a concept. It is a artist rendering of a concept that has actually been designed. It is an airplane that NASA, I don't know if they'll ever do it, but they intend to fly this thing on Mars. Now, that's one concept. Here is another concept. If you'll notice, they have a propeller at the back, and here is another concept. Now, these are from NASA, okay? That's where these came from. That's where these photographs came from. And this is their concept. Look at the propellers on the back of that thing. If the air is so thin, if the atmosphere is so thin that water vapor, it can't even sustain water vapor, how are you going to fly a freaking airplane, and what good is a prop going to do? It's got nothing to push against. I mean, really, stop and think about that. But the fact is, they've been telling us that it's so thin, and there's just no clouds, and the, you know, it can't hold water vapor. Well, let's see. This is from Pathfinder. Pathfinder was after Viking, and that's a picture of clouds in the sky, and they are obviously quite thick. Now, in the middle of that picture, you see the words, "You are here," and if you look very closely, you'll see a little X. That was put on there by NASA. That's to show where Earth is in relation to Pathfinder. Of course, you can't see it because you can't even see the sky because there is a very thick, large bank of clouds there. Now, how do you get clouds? Well, you have to have liquid water, which we are told does not and cannot exist on the surface of Mars. Well, when the rovers started sending pictures back, there was this photograph where it turned around and took a picture of where the rover had been. Now, I'm not real sure. I mean, I only have eyes. I don't have a doctor's degree in rocket science. But, you know, that's a mud hole. There's water in that. Now, I blew that picture up to a much larger size on my computer and looked at it, and you can actually see ripples in the water. And those tracks are muddy tracks coming out of the mud hole. But they tell us water, liquid water, can't exist on the surface of Mars. If you don't have liquid water, and if you've got an atmosphere so thin that it cannot be liquid water, it just immediately evaporates and dissipates into space, then explain how Pathfinder was able to take pictures of a very thick cloud bank above it. That atmosphere is not as thin as we've been told. Why are we being told? I don't know. I have no idea why. I only have eyes, and I'm looking at NASA photographs that tell me a different story than NASA's mouth tells us. Again, I don't assign to them. I don't assign to them any malicious intent. I don't know why. I mean, I could speculate. But everybody speculates. I don't know why. I just know that their photographs say something different than their official statements say. Now, maybe that's just a sort of a anomaly, you know. Yeah, there was that little bit of water, but I mean, that's just one little pothole, right? Well, what about these geysers? Though that's a photograph taken from space, and that's a field of geysers all blowing at the same time. You go to NASA's website and find this photograph, and it will tell you those are geysers. Now, that's a lot of water blowing off into the atmosphere. That's a little bit more than a pothole, isn't it? Yeah, but that's still not, that's a lot of water, but that's still not massive. Well, maybe that isn't, but in 1999, there was a cyclone on Mars near the North Pole, and that cyclone was so huge, and it was water. Okay, they did a spectrographical analysis of it, and it was water. That cyclone was so huge, you can see the eye of the cyclone. Do you know how big that is? The eye of that cyclone is the size of Texas. The eye of this particular storm, the eye is the size of Hurricane Ike that covered Texas. Now imagine that. That means that this cyclone is roughly five times larger than the state of Texas. Now I don't know about you, But I assume that that's a lot of water. A whole lot of water. Now, they tell us that the atmosphere is so thin that liquid water cannot exist. And yet, NASA's own website, if you go search it out, they will tell you on their website, there is a page where it describes what is necessary for a cyclone to start here on Earth. One of the things you have to have is a massive body of water. It has to be hot. It's got to be warm water. It has to be at least 80 degrees Fahrenheit in order for a cyclone to start. You also have to have a thick, wet, unstable atmosphere. Now, that's according to NASA's own website. Now, I'm looking at a photograph. This was taken by the Hubble Space Telescope of a cyclone on Mars. And not only that, if you'll look at this photograph, you'll see that there is a massive band of clouds encircling Mars just below that cyclone. So if it can't be, but it is, then here's what we come down to. We're being told by official sciencedom that it can't be. We're being told by the photographs, well, there it is. Which one is right? Which one is wrong? Now, look, that's a very simple, easy decision. It is for me. The talkers are wrong, and the photographs are right. There it is. Now, why they're doing it, God only knows. I don't know. But the fact that it's being done, I think, is a well-established fact established by their own photographs. You may have a different opinion of that. Maybe you think I am absolutely wrong. And if you do, I want you to have the opportunity to tell me. I'm going to open the telephone lines for you now. And I'd like to hear from you what you think. And we will, I mean, you don't have to agree with me. We'll take, you know, whether you think I'm right or whether you think I'm wrong. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
How's it going, Kev?
Very well, thank you.
Ah, nice. Well, this was an incredible show. I had 8 things that I saw on the questions that you had asked us and defining everything that you're going over, and I was curious if I could mention a couple of them.
Yeah.
And see what you thought. Bounce them off you.
All right.
Okay, is NASA sanctioned by the government?
Yes.
Okay, well, if they're sanctioned by the government, don't you think the government would have any influence on something they want to cover up?
Yes.
Okay, the second question is, whoever dropped the quarter on there totally messed up. The third one was, well, okay, they've lied to us for years because what is being shown flying through that sky, that big long line you showed?
Mm-hmm.
It was generating an atmospheric effect. And then it was verified on another photo that, of course, was orbiting or something. And there was another one. The thing that you said that was metallic, and you said, are there any engineers out there that could take a look at that and think what they thought of it?
Yeah.
Well, do you remember the old 55, 6, 7, 8, 9 Chevys? Do you remember those old cars?
Yeah.
Well, do you remember, like, in the brake system, how in the back, maybe towards the rear, you'd have to cross it over into a junction block before it went off into the different wheel areas?
Yeah.
Well, it kind of looked like some kind of a junction block for something, whether it was, it had to be man-made and engineered, connected to something else. And so I found that very interesting. That was engineered. And, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And my last thing I wanted to leave with was, puzzles, just regular puzzles. Sometimes we try to get so out there and stuff, but it's so logical, like you're explaining. A simple puzzle, sometimes, let's say it's a 500-piece puzzle. Don't you think that when you get 400 pieces of it, really can see what it's about to be about.
You're exactly right.
I just wanted to knock that out of the park for you.
Yeah. And, you know, there are enough pieces of the puzzle in place. Okay, he's gone. Bob, thanks for the call. There are enough pieces of the puzzle in place that we can kind of see the picture. There are still a lot of questions about it, but, you know, we sort of can see the picture. And the picture looks a great deal different from what we were told. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I got a couple things to say about this, and don't worry, I'm not going to say what I emailed you. You know, if one thing is, it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, you know, it just might be a duck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Kevin, let me ask you this, though. Do you know people that are like what I described? They see it, and they see these pictures, and then they say, wow. And then they hear some expert, either from NASA or some scientist somewhere, that gives what I call a weather balloon story, and they go, oh, okay. And they buy it. Do you know people like that?
I know a few people, yeah, but...
I know lots of people that they will believe the DR dot. They'll believe the doctor so-and-so before they'll believe their own eyes.
Well, unbelievable. Well, you know, I got another quote I got to say.
All right.
Truth is authority. Authority is not truth. Does that make sense to you?
Truth is authority. Authority is not truth. Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah.
Just because a doctor is an authority figure, but you know what? A doctor can lie just as well as you or I can.
Yeah.
Just because they say it is, does that make it true? No, it doesn't. But when we see it with our own eyes, like when you showed that picture of that cyclone.
Yeah.
To me, you see, there must be an ocean right there. There's an ocean on Mars because there has to be at least a Great Lake. But for there to be a cyclone of that size on Mars, especially after NASA was saying that it is a cyclone, well, then logic would dictate that, you know, there must be an ocean there. So there must be a big body of water there on Mars.
You would think so, yeah.
You know, I think I'd like to give a shout-out to somebody to call in tonight.
Okay.
His name is Richard C. Hoagland. I'd love, Richard, if you're listening, I'd love for you to call in tonight. The number is 602-539-9580. Richard C. Hoagland, we'd love to hear from you and hear your comments on this. I'm sure he's seen those photos. I'm sure he's been looking over those photos for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. All right, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
All right, have a good night, man.
All right. Yeah, Richard C. Hoagland is a friend and a friend of this show, and he's been saying a lot of things about Mars and NASA for a lot of years, and has actually sort of folks at NASA, some of them really don't like him, and that's been kind of interesting. All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Terry.
Yeah, Terry.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
I think it's pretty obvious, you know, that we've been lied to for a very long time. NASA is actually part of the military. And just like the UFO stuff, you know, they're trying to hide this stuff from us, too. Until America gets rid of couchitis, and once, you know...
Wait a minute. Until America gets rid of what?
Couchitis.
Couchitis?
Yes. watch YouTube.
Okay. I understand.
And, yeah, and demand that... you know, the stuff that's before us, see, because it all comes from the same thing, the military government that comes, you know, that runs NASA and You know, that's only what they want out. It's the same thing with the media. They run that. So, you know, we don't have people who are willing to stand up and say, wait a minute, what's this? I mean, you know, and call their bluff. I mean, we're just going to keep getting the same old stuff, you know, until we get up, you know, and demand the license stuff.
I'm not sure that they will ever stop using cover stories. That may never happen. But I'll tell you, I think it is time for us, all of us, to make a decision here. Are you going to believe what you hear from them? Or are you going to believe what you see? Now, their own photographs show us that what they're telling us can't be true. So, you know, you have to decide. Are you going to believe your eyes or your ears?
Yep. I believe my eyes, and I know they've been lying to us for a long time. A little thing about me is something my mom used to tell me all the time since I was just a little kid that I always wanted to go to Egypt. After I seen some pyramid stuff, I was always drawn into that. That's why I envy Jerry Wells so much. If he needs a pack mule to go along with him, I'd be his man.
Well, he may be listening tonight, so he may have heard that. Listen, thanks for the call.
Sure, Deb.
All right. All right, folks, the telephone number is 602-539-9580. And we are still using our backup system for telephones, so you do hear it beep sometimes. Sorry about that. It does happen. All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Trey from Atlanta, Kevin.
Yeah, Trey.
I think that the problem with, you know, people looking at pictures and then, you know, not believing their lying eyes is a lot of them are pretty much starting off from the position that it's impossible or that is amazing. Like, you know, you mentioned geysers, something looks like geysers or a hurricane. And, Well, it's in our solar system. It's not that far from us. It's not that amazing. We're covered with water. We've got geysers. Well, what's so amazing about it having geysers except if you start off from the beginning, that it's impossible.
Well, yeah, and look, when they tell us that it's impossible for there to be liquid water on the surface, liquid water, that's not possible because the atmosphere is so thin. And then they come along and show us pictures of airplanes they plan on flying up there. Who do they think they're kidding? If the atmosphere is that thin, you're not going to fly an airplane.
Yeah, well, the impossible thing is to have a hurricane without water, isn't it?
It is impossible to have a hurricane without water.
Well, that's the impossible thing. It's, you know, but that's the whole thing with that. And, you know, it's just, you know, and as far as, you know, people actually looking, and let's be frank, Kevin, not only people that see these pictures and hear about this, or people who listen to your show and other shows like it, or go to these websites daily that you find these pictures at. And so for this information to get out there to the public, it's got to be on regular news. It's got to be on, you know, the big three. And people have to be shown it rather than going out and looking for it. And, you know, so it's going to have to be on just the major networks, Fox, MSNBC, and, you know, have real scientists telling you that, you know, you're actually seeing this and this is what it is, you know.
Yeah. Well, maybe Joe the plumber will tell them.
Really? Maybe Joe the plumber will tell them, but, you know, some people just don't want to know and you can't see everything. But, Kevin, thanks for working so hard and keeping the show going. And
well, I appreciate it. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it, Kevin.
All right, folks, what do you think about this? I've shown you what I think are some of the most amazingly clear photographs. What do you think about it? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. First thing about Blossom Goodchild, I just want to clear things up with folks out there. I've done channeling before, and sometimes when those on the other side are talking to you, when a channeler is trying to convert a lot of thoughts into words, sometimes the thoughts into words can get a little misconstrued. And I think that's what happened with Blossom. So folks really need to cut her some slack because she is human. She's not omnipotent or a goddess or anything like that. And folks make mistakes. So folks out there who are saying these things about her killing herself and stuff like that, I just want to say shame on them because...
I agree. That's just unconscionable.
Well, exactly. And I think she tried her best. I, of course, was eagerly looking forward to this, and when it didn't happen, I was a little disappointed, but at the same time, you know, we often make predictions, even ourselves. If, you know, folks...
Debbie, do you want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right, you hang on. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Debbie, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
All right. I had to cut you off in mid-sentence. I apologize for that.
Oh, that's all right. You know, you've got your bills and stuff to pay, and commercials are important. Anyway, I wanted to just say on that, shame on those folks who said those horrible things about Blossom Goodchild. Her intentions were, she meant well, and... I think most folks, those of us that are sympathetic, when folks make mistakes, we can understand that. And
hey, but you know what? Maybe she didn't make a mistake. Maybe she got lied to.
Well, and that's the whole thing. I mean, it's as you said, we were not there, so we don't really know what happened. But I have channeled a little bit in the past, and it's very difficult to put into words the thoughts that are coming from disembodied spirits on the other side. So I think in her best, she tried her best.
And yeah, well, you know, I don't have a lot of confidence in channeled messages, and I've never made a secret of that. I'm not critical of them. I just
right.
personally don't have a lot of confidence in it.
Right.
On the other hand, the people who have written to her and told her, you know, that she ought to just go kill herself and do the world a favor and stuff. That's just unconscionable. It's wrong.
It is.
And it shouldn't happen.
It's yeah. very wrong. Okay, that's my spiel for that. Now, about Mars.
Okay, quickly.
You know those pictures?
Yeah.
I have to agree with you 100%. I'm seeing things there that you're saying, like trees and the buildings and that railroad tie. That big old cyclone up near the North Pole of Mars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All I want to say is, NASA, when are you guys going to stop lying to the intelligent people in the audience of the Kevin Smith Show? We know exactly what those things are. You don't have to keep saying, well, it's this and it's that and the other. And actually, I think the atmosphere of Mars looks very beautiful.
It does.
I think we're already there.
Well, we might be. And I'll tell you what. I'm putting up on the screen right now a picture I have not shown. This is a color photograph taken by one of the rovers. It looks like it could have been taken right here in Arizona. It's Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie, I got to run. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Oh, yeah. If you're looking at our television feed right now, then you can see what I'm talking about. That looks like it could have been taken right here in the Phoenix, Arizona area. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Bob again from California.
Yeah, Bob.
I just wanted to add just a couple hidden puzzle pieces, but only take a few seconds.
Sure.
I found four. The first one was, how common are circles like that in nature and that kind of an environment that they're describing?
Okay, now wait a minute. You said circles. Are you referring to the picture that I said looks like a coin?
Well, no, not that one. All the other ones show different circles in them if you really look
at them. Yeah, okay.
Okay, and then the second one is, this is a really interesting one. Life exists in oceans in geothermal vents that would melt glass over like 1,000 degrees. Okay, life occurs all the way around there, and there's even crabs and stuff with weird shells and stuff that just go up and down there that would melt our glass and just kill a human. Okay, so I'll put that out there as far as that. And then there's another thing, too. Virus can be frozen. Viruses have been proven somehow or another sometimes to possibly give DNA, let alone possibly original habits there, introducing some over here. And then the last one was the technology to get there and build all those structures. How did we go from a biplane to making that in those amount of years, unless they got it from somewhere else?
Yeah, I don't know who built it, but quite obviously it was built. So if it's built, somebody built it, right? I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? If you see a building somewhere, you know there was a builder that built it. And do we throw our minds away and say, well, that's on Mars, so obviously there was no builder? If there's a building, there was a builder. Who it was, when it was, I don't know. Could have been last week. Maybe it was 1 million years ago. Maybe it was 4 million years ago. I don't know. But if there's a building, there was a builder. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Well, for some reason, caller, we're not hearing you. All right, give us another try. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 602-539-9580. And for the last caller, you got through, but for some reason I couldn't bring you up online on the air. Give us another call. All right, 602-539-9580. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Derek from Ohio again.
Okay.
I just had to mention something. That one picture you put up earlier, it's all brown. You talked about one that had pipe and, like, stacks on it.
Look
at it up in the left-hand corner and tell me if you see a face. I thought I seen a face.
Well, it's up on the screen now. That's a structure that is near the South Pole, and I don't see a face, but that doesn't mean there's not one there. I do see a lot of right angles, and I see curved structures like pipes, and I see things that look like a smokestack structure, but I don't see a face. But, it's on the screen now, and so folks can take a look at it, and maybe they'll see a face. I don't.
Is that a different angle? Because up there where I see the face, it seems like it's a little bit lower than it was before.
No, that's the same photograph.
Okay. It was just, it looked like a face there up there in the left-hand corner, a mouth, and two eyes, and a nose there. But, it might be, just anomaly, but I just wanted to bring that up.
All right. Thanks for the call. 602-539-9580. And I would love to hear from you. The spin doesn't just come, and the bad information doesn't just come from incidents like we had with the October 14th situation. It comes from official sources, and it comes from experts who are in our genre, who sometimes just unload a bunch of bilge water on us. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Jerry. I'm calling from Arizona.
Hi, Jerry. How are you doing this evening?
Hi. Doing fine. How are you doing?
Outstanding.
Great show tonight, Kevin. Absolutely outstanding. I just had a thought about what you're showing and talking about here on the show this evening. And one of the things that occurs to me is that, of course, it looks like Mars was inhabited. And if it was inhabited, what a great place for the scientists of this world to go to find out what happens when a large object comes by and sucks the atmosphere away from the planet, killing everyone on it, and then it has to reconstruct itself and recover from that kind of trauma. And the reason why I mention that is because in our research, we've discovered that there is some records of a great battle that took place, Battle of the Dragons. A huge object was throwing fire down on Mars, and it was witnessed over in the, I think it was recorded by the Chinese. I don't have a date, but I remember reading about this. If an object came by, it would have a charge, and that charge would then, if it came close enough to a planet, to be released onto that planet, to be an electrical charge, and it would burn away the atmosphere. And I think this might have been what happened to Mars. Just an idea.
Could be. The stories, the Sumerian stories about Nibiru, refer to it as being a fiery planet. And also, there are other ancient documents that speak of, for instance, the Egyptians speak of it as the destroyer. So maybe it was one of the Nibiruan passes through our solar system.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking as well. You know, when I was talking with Jim McCanny about this several years ago, he was talking about this extrasolar object that would come into our solar system, and of course this would be Nibiru that would be coming through, or maybe some other name, who knows. But the object remains the same, and he was saying that when it entered, the solar capacitor would be discharged as this thing would be sucking the electrical current into it, and it would become more highly charged. He also went on to say that if you were to have this object pass by a planetary body, such as Mars, even the Earth, that there would be lightning bolts that would flash from one object to the other repeatedly as it was moving past that trajectory where that planet, such as Mars, would be.
Mm-hmm.
And that lightning would effectively ionize the atmosphere and burn away the atmosphere very rapidly, completely decimating the planet. And he was a bit concerned that that might happen to the Earth if this object were to come close to the Earth. Excuse me. And, he was just giving me some idea of what might have happened to Mars.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, but I think it's obvious that there was intelligent life there at some time. I say again, if you see a building, it's not a big, bold leap to say there was a builder.
Yeah, exactly right. You don't have buildings without builders, and you don't have buildings and what looks to me like a very sophisticated social complex. I mean, you had to have some sort of society that would plan and execute the building of such a place. And, you know, what happened to those people?
I would hope that there are still some survivors there, but we don't know that. And, it's guesswork at this point. I'm betting that NASA knows, but maybe not. But I, you know, one of the things, and I think this is very important for us. This is, by the way, folks. This is Jerry Wills, who is an explorer, and he is the owner of Expeditions TV. What is it? .com or .net?
.com.
ExpeditionsTV.com. Jerry, you know that the stuff we've been told about history is all spun up, and it isn't the way the facts actually lay on the ground. And the same thing is true when we talk about Mars and other places in our solar system. What we're getting told is all spun up, and I'm not sure why. I'm just sure it is. Jerry, I have to take a break. Do you want to hang on through the break?
If you like.
Yep, that's fine. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at area code 602-539-9580.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Jerry, are you still on the line with me?
I'm still here.
All right. I had to cut you off in mid-comment there. So,
that's fine.
Jerry, I don't know the reasons why all of this stuff gets spun up, but I know that it does get spun up. And the point that I'm trying to make here tonight, and I hope I'm making it, is we get bad information all the time. It doesn't just come from incidents like the October 14th incident. It comes from official sources. It sometimes comes from experts within our own genre that give us bad information. Maybe they think it's right, but it turns out to be bad information. And this is why I say you have to keep your mind in the driver's seat, pay attention to your feelings, but keep your mind in the driver's seat and ask tough questions and compare the evidence, examine the evidence.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, and it's very easy for things to shift and change in the world that we're living in right now. It happens so rapidly.
Yeah, it does. It does.
I know I've experienced that myself quite a few times.
Well, let me ask you something off topic. Can I give you a call right after the show?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, I'll do that. Jerry, thanks for the call, man.
It's a great show, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it. All right, I think, I'm not sure, but I think we've got time for one more call. If you've been trying to get through and you haven't been able to get through, now's the time. All lines are clear right at this moment. So it's 602-539-9580, and give us a call. We'll try to get you on. Now, if the call comes in and I don't have but a couple of minutes left, I can't guarantee I'll put that on the air because I won't have time to hear everything you've got to say and then offer you whatever response you are asking of me. Caller, you are live. Let's get that up. Caller, you are live. Smith, show your first name. And you're gone. All right. One more attempt. Someone else can give us a call. 602-539-9580. As I say, I don't know why things get spun the way they get spun. I don't know why you would tell us that Mars has a red sky when, in fact, it has a blue sky. What's the big deal with this? I don't know why you would tell us there cannot be liquid water when we now know that there is liquid water. Why? I don't know. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Mark from Ashford, Ohio. How you doing?
Doing great, Mark.
I wanted to let you know that I'm building one of the exopolitic sites for Stephen Bassett.
Okay.
Has URLs for each state, and there are other URLs available. The site I'm working on is exopoliticohio.us. I just thought I'd let you know that.
All right. And
on Mars.
Exopolitics.us?
Exopoliticohio.us.
Okay. All right.
I wanted to throw one thing out about Mars.
Yeah.
You know, we're paying for them to keep sending these unmanned ships up there.
Mm-hmm.
So you might look at it that they're essentially ripping off the taxpayers and stringing this out as long as they can, because I believe JPL will not get a manned mission. They only do the unmanned mission. So that's another way to look at it.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there are economic reasons behind a lot of the stuff we get told and a lot of the stuff we don't get told. But one of the things that I think is very interesting is in 1976, when they ran that experiment, the Levin experiment, and said we found signatures of biology happening, and then they backed up and said, oh, no, no, we didn't. What happened was they baked, they scooped up some soil and baked it, and they got lots of oxygen. And that's what just happened with the Phoenix lander. And they said, oh, well, it's percolate. Well, it's not percolate, because there's, I'm sorry, perchlorate. There was no chlorine in it. It was just oxygen. And so one of the things we know is that there's oxygen in abundance in the soil, 15 times more oxygen than they have told us. And that is their own scientist in 1976 on television saying that, that there's 15 times more oxygen than we can account for from all known sources. So could humans live on Mars? Well, if we just go on the basis of the oxygen, the answer is yes.
Great show, Kevin. I love the picture of the cylinder that was flying through the air, and the mud puddle was great, too. And I think you ought to get a guy from NASA on, and then we can all call in and ask questions.
Well, that would be that would be 2 hours of silence or weather balloons.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right. It would be. You know it would be. It would be 2 hours of silence or weather balloons. Folks, in this genre, we get good information, we get bad information. That's one of the reasons that I approach this show and present this show in the way that I do. And that is, let's just let whoever's making the waves, let's let them come on the show and say what they have to say. And then let's ask the questions. Let's and examine the evidence. And we can sort out in our own minds what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's not true. But if we, you know, and sometimes I get criticized because people want me to bring guests on that present only one side of the thing. Well, there's a problem with that. The problem is you're myopic when you do that, and you need to examine evidence on all sides. Do I think that NASA tells us only lies? No, I think NASA tells us a lot of stuff that's really true, good, solid information. Do I think they spin information? Absolutely. Their pictures caught them doing it. I didn't. Their pictures caught them doing it. Now, why? I don't know. But we need people to come on that are way out there on the edge and tell us why they're out there on the edge. We need people to come on from establishment science and tell us why they think their position is correct. And then we need to ask questions from both, and we need to examine the evidence from both, and then we can make up our minds. We're not stupid. We're not blind. I hear all the stuff, all the spin. I hear it. But my eyes have never lied to me. Never. Sometimes I look at photographs and I can't tell what I'm looking at. But when my eyes can identify what they're looking at, I'm looking at a building. I'm looking at a structure. When I can see that, my eyes have never failed me. And if it's a race between my eyes and what they're mouthing, my eyes win. It's their pictures. I didn't take those pictures. It's their pictures. And remember, in their pictures, they started out showing us red skies on Mars. In 1976, they knew the sky was blue, but they still showed us red skies on Mars. Now, we're still seeing some red skies in some of their photographs, but now we're also beginning to see some of the real stuff. And we can see that the sky on Mars looks like the sky here, and the dirt on Mars looks like the dirt here. Why they spin it, who knows? Ladies and gentlemen, my friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Don't forget to help us with a donation now and then when you can. And don't forget to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Go to kevinsmithshow.com and click the button that says K-Files Easy. Until next time, so long, everybody.